Across every time zone covering both hemispheres, it's time for a featured music special on Artists First World Radio. In the past 30 months, we have, I'm hearing music stuff. Oh, I know why that's happening. Because I've surfed over to the website of our guest today. Now, hang on a second, guys. There, I better do this. Okay, none of you people will be able to look at this website while you listen to this broadcast, because that's exactly what will happen. The music will begin to play over top of you, and if you turn your speakers down, you won't be able to hear us. But after the broadcast, please surf over to GaryAlt.com, and here's a guy with the same name as the web address. What are the odds? Hey, Gary.
How you doing, Scott?
Sorry, man. That's why we're getting little snips and pieces of your stuff there. Could you hear that over the air?
Oh, well, I'm not listening on the air, but you can just turn that off. If somebody happens to be on the website, you just go to the little player at the top and hit, I don't know, stop or pause or something.
Well, there you go, guys. So, Gary, how you been since your last visit?
Pretty good, thanks. How are you?
Hey, we're doing good. Now, folks, Gary's been on the broadcast a couple of times before. We've got at least two shows on the current archives up there. And is what number CD are we going to feature today?
What number? Let's see. Depends how you count them. It's my sixth or seventh or maybe even eighth. I'm not sure.
You are prolific, Gary. Well, no doubt there are new listeners that tune us in every day, so we got to backtrack a little bit. For those of you who haven't heard about Gary Alt, let's talk a little bit about you as a human being, Gary. Let's tell them a little bit about your bio, like where you grew up.
I grew up on Long Island. Born in Brooklyn, raised in Westbury, Long Island, which is central Nassau County. And, you know, that's where I started playing music, of course, as a kid, and moved to New Jersey about 24, 25 years ago. Been living there ever since.
And so when did music become an important part of your life?
Well, as long as I can remember it was. I mean, I think, well, of course, when the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan, I was probably five, I think, or maybe, yeah, about 5 years old. And that had an impact on me. And I have an older sister. She's 6 years older. She was like prime age for that. She was like 11 or 12 and had Hard Day's Night and Meet the Beatles. And I just remember listening to AM radio, all that great Motown music and a lot of bubblegum stuff as well. And then, you know, raiding my parents' record collection, listening to Mozart and Chopin and Tchaikovsky. Started playing drums in the school band when I was, I guess, around 9 or 10. And as long as I can remember, it's just been very, very important to me.
And is it something, I believe in our previous interview, I interviewed you, I believe, on your first appearance here.
Mm-hmm.
Did we decide that it's a combination of genetics and nurturing where your talent comes from?
I think it is. I mean, it's kind of hard to say. But I think it's probably partly genetic because, you know, if you have an ability to hear things and translate that into playing, there's probably a certain amount of natural aptitude for it. But I'm also convinced that, the environment has an awful lot to do with it. The friends that I chose were always interested in music and had similar tastes and things like that. And, you know, you just sort of hang around with musicians and that's what you want to do.
Rubs off, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, cripe. Gary, most musicians, I wonder what that statistical number is, but the vast majority certainly never put out any CD ever, and you've lost track of what number this is for you. You must be a musician with either a lot to say or a lot of creativity or both. What's your take?
Probably more creativity, I suppose. I've kind of only started writing lyrics, I guess maybe about 15 years ago or so. So I never really felt I had anything, any kind of message to put forward. I just liked playing music, and you know, that's the message itself. But since I started writing lyrics, and I, you know, guess improved my ability, sometimes I have something to say, a very personal thing, very autobiographical, or maybe it's about some issue that's important to me. Other times, I'm really just—it's just a sound, you know. I just come up with a sound that marries a musical sound, and then I start thinking, well, okay, what would this be about? And I come up with a lyric, and you know, so it just depends. Sometimes it's very autobiographical and personal. Other times, it's not.
Oops, I'm talking and no one can hear me. I like that. I've seen Phil Collins over the years, and just recently, last week, on that. Old whatever name Bayer program is, and he says, and she was asking him about the lyrics Sioux Studio. He just said it means absolutely nothing.
Right.
And that there's people that have pondered that and come up with the, you know, meaning of life, but that's okay because artistically, art is an individual experience when you get right down to it. Well, let's get down to individualizing an experience for all of our listeners. On the first cut we're about to play is entitled "The Moon Always Finds Me." Would you like to say something about it now or after we listen to it?
Maybe we'll listen to it first. How's that sound?
Thank you.
You are listening to the music of Gary Ault. That track was entitled The Moon Always Finds Me. And Gary, you said you'd like to make a few comments about it after we heard it. So there it is. Nice composition.
Oh, thank you. Now I have to comment on
now, it? Yeah. What did you, okay, well, you were just talking. You woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you had this idea.
Yeah. Basically, main idea came from the title. It was actually a note that I had received, like, I don't know if it was an email or a text message or something, that I thought was just beautiful words about the moon always being there for me when I wake up or something like that. And I kind of, you know, turned it into what it ended up being. And then basically I was trying to decide on what's the groove going to be. You know, should this be like a real romantic thing, because the moon is sort of a romantic idea. And I settled on, I kind of made a concerted effort, a conscious effort on this CD to kind of stick with a more of a rock kind of themes, as opposed to my previous CDs that were kind of all over the place, very eclectic, everything from pop to blues to, you know, hard rock and folk and everything. And I just decided on this one I was going to be more rock rooted. So I wanted to be melodic with this one and you know, kind of tell that story about star-crossed lovers that are, like, you know, separated geographically and by circumstance, but yet the same moon is out the window, kind of looking in, kind of watching over them, maybe bringing them together, that type of thing.
Well, and if I was actually a good radio host and interviewer, I would have mentioned to the listeners a long time ago that the name of the CD we're previewing this afternoon is Gift of Projection. Interesting name for a CD. Where's that come from?
It came from a conversation I had with a very good friend of mine. His name is Charlie Lean. He's actually was the drummer on some of the tracks on the tribute album. And he's the kind of person that feels very deeply for people and always wants to be proactive in doing something to help out. And I feel pretty much the same way. You know, we have that in common. And this just expression just came out of his mouth, the gift of projection. Basically, it's I guess another way of saying empathy, where, you know, it's not enough to just know that somebody is, like, sick or suffering or whatever, but you know, if you want to actually do something to help, you kind of project what they might be feeling without kind of assuming that you understand it, because you want to listen to someone and, you know, see what they have to say. So it's part, I think, innate, but also part cultivated. You know, something that you have to want to do to really just go beyond just saying, how are you doing, to really, you know, projecting into that person's situation and seeing, like, what can I do to really help? You know, maybe it's just something I can say, not so much something I can do. So that's where the title for the CD came from, and that line figures into the song that we'll probably play later called Bleed For You, which is basically, you know, along that same theme of you know, helping others and perhaps getting some help back in the future.
Gee, what a refreshing change from the music we've been bombarded with over the past decade about kill this one, mutilate that one. Okay, I know. I don't want to generate hate mail, but let me turn this into a positive. If more people thought like you, Gary, this world would be a much better place. Unfortunately, I don't think the average person out there gives a rat's ass about anybody else but themselves, and unfortunately, that's what we're looking at in the world and the situation we have right now. But, okay, now on that lighter note, did you know, and did you put that face right in the middle of your album cover? Or did you realize it was even there?
The face?
Right in the middle of your CD cover, there's a face.
On the flower painting?
Yes.
I have to look at it again. I'm not even sure.
All right, we're going to go to a song. You go grab one, and I'll show you what I'm talking about.
Okay.
We're going to play the tune, The Cruelest Goodbye. Tell us about this cut.
Well, this was one of the last two songs I wrote, and kind of the reason why I put out an EP, because for two reasons I put it out, you know, as an EP as opposed to a full-length CD. For one reason, I think my material in the past was, like, probably too much information, like hours and hours worth of music, and people, like, are overwhelmed by it. But the other thing was that I thought the last couple of songs I wrote, I mean, I like them. I think this is a good song and everything, but it comes from some angry, you know, / sad feelings, and I don't typically write a lot of stuff like that. I like to be a little more positive, but it just came from a very negative experience of about a month or so ago. And So that's basically why I kind of haven't been writing a whole lot since then, because all my thoughts of, you know, musical thoughts are kind of like music abuse. You know, it's kind of like angry slash sad. And I don't like to be too cathartic. Like, I don't have the luxury of John Lennon of putting out an entire album of catharsis, you know. So this was kind of a bit of a final statement, you know. And, you know, you'll get what I mean when you hear it, I guess.
Oh, the cruelest
You are listening to the music of Gary Alt on the Artist First World Radio Network. Gary, where can they pick up your music?
You can go to cdbaby.com is the one I recommend. They make it really easy to, you know, you don't have to go through downloading a download tool and all this crazy stuff and software. And it's just pretty much, you know, you just go to cdbaby.com, search for Gary Alt, and go through the purchase thing. You can get MP3s, you can buy the CD. Or if you want, you can go to Amazon.com, iTunes.com, anywhere you want, really.
You know, an interesting happenstance occurred recently with Amazon.com announcing in the summer of 2010 that they sell more books now as ones and zeros, in other words, downloads, than all of the printed books combined.
Wow.
The record business announced that, CD Baby announced that, probably 3 or 4 years ago. Downloads now dwarf actual CD sales. I mean, you still buy a CD, you just get it right away, you don't get the hard copy, so that's considered a CD sale, but the number of CDs actually sold in the world is a small fraction compared to the number of downloads. I think that's great, too, Gary, because you're available everywhere in the world. You don't have to spend $60,000 just to have a couple of CDs in every store in America. It's really the doors have really been open in our generation for indie artists. And, you know, what a great time to be an indie artist. Would you agree?
Yeah, and I think that when I discovered CD Baby, I mean, what they do for you is just so amazing. Because it's not just that they put your CDs up and, you know, unless somebody's looking for you, they're not going to find you, because a lot of people still haven't heard of CDBaby.com. But they facilitate all this digital distribution. They can give you a website for, you know, a minimal amount of money. It's just a great, great resource for independent musicians. I recommend it to anybody.
Now, we've had Derek Sivers, the owner of CD Baby, on Artist First. He's a great friend and welcome here anytime. Folks, if we sell MP3s, I think they're 89 cents. Or maybe they're 99 cents, I forget. You know what our cut is? 89 cents. 89
yeah.
cents. Those big-name artists out there like Madonna, when they sell an album for $19.95, they're lucky if they make a buck, $1.
Yep.
All the rest of the money goes to the rest of the cesspool that's known as the music business in America. So this whole thing has revolutionized the music business. We've seen the collapse of record labels left and right. We've seen those powerful jet-flying record executives reduced to suing 12-year-olds for downloading their songs.
Yeah.
I'm not crying, Gary. Are you?
Well, there's somebody out there I feel bad for. I don't know if it's the suits or it's the... I think that musicians are having a harder time, not just independent musicians who are actually probably having an easier time of it, but there's what they call the 360 contracts now, where the record companies, because they're not making money like they used to make, and they're trying to figure out how to get it back, they have these deals where they're going to get a cut of your tour revenues, and therefore they're going to manage your tour, and they really have no clue how to do that, as far as I know. So it's really a lot harder for musicians to make money nowadays. It's easier for independents to be independent, but if you really want to be successful, I think it's harder than ever.
Well, and I agree with all that. The ridiculous ticket prices, the public is saying, screw you. I ain't paying $275 to see some artist. You know, it's just gotten ridiculous. And then I heard this actually on the Alex Jones show out of Austin, Texas last week, that Clear Channel is going to file bankruptcy. The largest radio network, the big dogs, oh, years ago, their shit didn't stink. You know what I mean? They were top dog, and they were the first people to let you know. And now they're in a tank. Why? Here's my stupid opinion of why. Because the public now has so much free choice over what they can purchase that it's very hard for somebody like, at one time Elton John had 11% of all record sales, one guy. That'll never happen. There's too many people out there. There's hundreds of millions of very talented people out there that no one's heard from, and the record executives can't control us listening to just the couple dozen that they want to grind into our heads. Am I all wet on that?
No, I agree. And it, which is, in a way, you know, you don't want to see anybody, you know, lose their shirt, but it's sort of justice in a way, because it's been sort of rammed down our throats for so long. Like, this is what you're going to like. And it's it's an almost kind of a relief.
Well, let's get on to another cut from our guest, Gary Ault. If you're just joining us, folks, surf on over to GaryAult.com. All the links are provided. In fact, there's two other shows when you're done listening to this one that Gary has on our current archives that you can listen to. We're about to get into a tune called To Do Me. I don't know. Does that have adult themes to it, or what was going on here?
It's kind of hard to say. I tell you, when I thought of it, I was cutting my lawn, actually, and music is always in my head, and I was actually thinking the name Kimberly just entered my mind, and I was thinking, Kimberly, do to me, you know, whatever, and I said, I don't want to really write a song, you know, with a girl's name. I've done that once or twice, and I don't want to, it's almost like a 60s kind of thing to do, you know. So I said, well, you know, let's just make this about what a work of art of a woman can do to somebody, I don't know. So I just came up with Led Zeppelin kind of chords and put it all together. And I guess you can interpret it any way you want to, but it's relatively innocent, really.
We'll be right back.
You are listening to the music of Gary Ault, our featured artist on tonight's featured music special. Did I mention at the beginning of the broadcast, in the last 30 months, over 130 million listeners have tuned in Artist First Radio? That's what we can document, and that's not counting the millions of listeners that tune us in on Tagu or Baidu, both Russian and Chinese mega sites that take every one of our shows. So isn't that interesting? Gary, do you know any Russian?
Actually, I've got quite a bit of correspondence from Russia, and I think I probably had a little bit of that going on before my interviews with Artists First, but I noticed a significant spike in hits on my website since the various interviews. China, too, and, you know, there are other countries that for some reason, like in France, a lot of people have listened. I don't know why. But, yeah, definitely Russia, and I've gotten emails and my goodness, so many different messages from people in Australia and other places, but Russia and China, definitely a big spike. Can't say that I've had a lot of sales, because I think, like you say, they're probably ripping it off, but that's okay. I just like to get my music out there. If I get paid, that's great, but if not, that's all right. I got a day job.
Yeah, but, you know, which brings us back to the age-old question. This is a hard thing to do. It's very time-consuming. It's often very expensive. And, you know, obviously you do this very well, but what are the underlying reasons that you take on such a massive undertaking in your life? This is a big undertaking.
For me, it just comes down to the music. I've always loved music. I've always wanted to make music. And I imagined, even as a teenager, being able to record songs and, my goodness, what I could do if I had the access to, you know, Electric Lady Studios or whatever. And, I dabbled with, a couple of cassette recorders, like, you know, bouncing back and forth and, you know, just finding out that there's a lot more to just, you know, having a couple of tape recorders. There's a lot you have to know, a lot of investment of time and money. But what happens is, I just got really serious about songwriting. The next logical thing is you need to record it, and the next logical thing after that is you want people to hear it. So the recording process, you just want to make it as good as you possibly can. My first recordings were really kind of embarrassing when I listen to them now. Even my first CD, I can't even bear to listen to it. But, you learn along the way, and you just, you learn about mastering and phase cancellation and all these technical things, and you just get better and better at it. And it's just a way of getting your songs recorded. It's sort of something you have to do.
Yes, it is a need. It's not a desire. It's a need for
right.
Some artists. They have to get this done.
And, yeah. I don't really enjoy... I sort of enjoy the recording process. Sometimes it's a lot of fun, but there are other times when it's like, man, I don't want to do this again. It's just because I'm the engineer, I'm doing the mastering, and I really want to just play the music, and I don't want to be thinking about which buttons to press and, you know, where the VU meter is and all that kind of stuff. But... you know, you just sort of resign yourself to the fact that if you want it done, you know, the way you want to get it done, it's probably the best thing to do is just sit down and buckle down and do it. So, you know, it is a need, and I just find that that's the only way to really get it accomplished.
Well, and you do it the real way, not the way we do it here using, well, and I shouldn't presume that, but I believe I'm accurate when I say that you play the drums, right? Not on every song. But.
No, not on every song. In fact, I used to play the drums on every song, and then I started using a keyboard, like a Roland keyboard with a drum, a drum setting.
Yes, that's exactly what we do.
Yeah, and in other words, it wasn't like, you know, drum loops or something like that. Like the A flat key would be the snare drum or whatever. And then I got into using wave loops, which are especially helpful when I'm just laying down a click track, which is basically to get the timing right. You know, I'll just put down a basic click track, play the guitar or piano or whatever the main instrument is. And then, you know, as I'm adding instruments, at some point I start actually replacing it with the drums that I really want to hear. But again, it's a combination of real drums, the keyboard, wave files, whatever just seems appropriate for that particular song. And on this last CD, I think, it's probably mostly wave files, to be honest with you. I mean, some of which I create myself just because I want a certain sound, and I don't want to be sitting there playing the same incessant beat for 5 minutes, you know.
Exactly. Well, and you know what? There's a lot of, for those out there making their own home recordings, Digital drummers are bad to the bone. I mean, they keep the you can buy. I think Alesis sells for less than $150 an outstanding drum machine that can be used for live gigs or recording records that just sounds terrific. And you say, well, gee, well, you know, that's not the purity of music. Well, yes, it is. When you come out and see the band live, we'll have a real drummer. You know, he'll play what was on there, but the time, I don't think the average person realizes how much time it takes to record a real drum set in a studio. I might hazard a guess that on a simple rock band, would say a guitar, bass, and drums, over half of your time in recording an album is just recording the drums. Am I wrong?
I think that's correct. For one thing, you've got so many different microphones because, you know, you want your overheads and you got to match the, you know, you want to use a condenser mic for the cymbals, and it's, you know, it's just so complicated. And then, like I mentioned, phase cancellation. I'm not trying to sound technical or anything, but very strange things happen when you're putting mics between and on specific drums, and all of a sudden, like, one cancels out the other in some goofy way, like just in terms of the tone. It's a lot of experimentation. You can get a great sound and then go back and record it, and then go back the next day and not move anything, or you didn't think you moved anything, and all of a sudden it sounds terrible, and you're like, what in the world just happened? So it's, yeah, you can spend an awful lot of time just getting your mics right and getting the levels right and then preventing bleeding from one track to the other. It can be pretty painstaking.
Well, and I would rather use that time as an artist, honestly, to do the recording.
Yeah.
You know, actually get the craft done. And, you know, again, using artificial drums, which, listeners, you're hearing artificial drums on probably 80% of all the music you've been hearing in the last 20 years. Is that maybe, okay, 75%, that's my final number. But, and what's wrong with that? And again, what's wrong with, in case of our drummer, just actually showing up sober? That's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you listen, like, I always consider Phil Collins, who you mentioned before, a great drummer. And for as far back as the Duke album, Genesis album, he was combining real drums with drum machines. You know, just whatever makes the sound you're trying to get. What's the matter with that?
Right, and to have drummers that care.
Yeah.
Too many drummers just get out there, and as long as it sounds like that one album they heard when they were 15, then they're satisfied. They don't try to, you know, be a distinguishable drum sound or beat like drummers like Phil Collins do. I think that's, and of course, right there, I guess I'm contradicting my earlier statements. Well, how do you do that with a drum machine? Actually, you can. If you care enough, you can get in there and make all the sounds you want and make all the changes to all the drums to. In fact, you can become a mad scientist. Have you found that out when you're using your sequencer and your wave machine? That sometimes you're there till like 5 in the morning. You've been there all night, and you got to work the next day. It's already getting light outside, and you're going, oh, man.
Yeah, you try to get something perfect, and, you know, you might never quite get there. But, yeah, and it's probably something that nobody will ever hear. You know, I mean, I'll make a change to a song and you know, recut a new CD and listen to it in the car and in the home stereo, and I'll play it for a couple of my friends, and they're like, so how is this different from the last time you sent this to me? You know, it's like, well, I hear it, you know, so that's important. But you can definitely go overboard with it.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with trying to perfect your craft. I mean, after all, you are the artist. You should do it the way you want it done, and that's sort of the beauty and the freedom of being an artist. It's done when you say it is. You are listening to a featured music special with Gary Ault. This is Z-Man Studio 1A. We're playing music off the new CD, Gift of Projection. And we got time for one and maybe part of another. Let's get into this cut right away. It's called Savannah from Gary Ault. You are listening to the music of Gary Ault. His music is available at all the standard, the usual suspects, iTunes, Amazon.com. We highly recommend CD Baby. And as you were mentioning earlier about CD Baby, just a little tip, since we are an independent artist network. If you choose to list, if you're an artist and you have a CD to put up on the internet, we recommend you go to CD Baby first, because they will set you up on all the rest of the websites for free. Have you heard of that, Gary?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I use them. It's a tremendous service.
So let's look at the other way. Let's say you go to iTunes first. Well, when you're done with that, then you'll have to go over to Rhapsody, and this one, and that one, and this one, and that one, and CD Baby, and go through all those processes again to get your music listed on all those websites. CD Baby does it for you for nothing. I mean, no additional cost. And I think the last time we put something up on CD Baby, it was like $40, $45. Does that sound about right?
I thought it was around there. I thought it was 35, but well, I guess if you want, you know, you got to pay for barcode and stuff like that. Yeah, so it could be a little bit more.
So, folks, a couple cases of beer, man, and you can be selling records around the world. Are you crazy? And you get to keep almost 90%.
Yep.
90% of the money goes in your pocket, not some fat coke-snorting record executive who's probably molesting young boys. Oh, what was the name of that guy? Okay, we won't go there. We won't go
All right.
there. I get going. That's why they give me these little pills to take when my veins start to stick out of the side of my head.
Okay.
You know, we were talking off the air, folks, Gary and I were, about things that happened in the world, and Gary's played, if anybody gets out and wants to book the band in Gary's area, they're called Thunderhouse, and it's some guys that get out and play on the weekends. Come on, man, when you're a weekend warrior and you get to be our age and you start playing gigs, and, you know, ain't quite the venues that they were when we were maybe in our 20s, but, you know, there have to be some very interesting stories, or maybe one you'd like to relate to the public. I realize I'm completely putting you on the spot here.
Well, let's see, related to gigging or
to gigging live. In other words, what's the worst thing that's ever happened to you playing, and not necessarily even in Thunderhouse, but in at any live gig you were playing?
Well, this isn't probably the worst story in the world, but I was playing with a band. I think we were called Rain at the time, which, you know, has nothing to do with the Beatles cover band. But anyway, we were kind of paying our dues. You know, we were playing in a little. Well, actually, a big restaurant, but a small venue in terms of playing live. You know, they had different rooms. We were playing to maybe 100 people or something like that. And around the time that we were supposed to go on, this mariachi band is making the rounds. And we're like, could you guys, you know, we're supposed to start now. Could you guys, you know, just kind of leave? Would you mind? And then actually a friend of ours that was going to be a guest singer was anxious to get it over with. She started, like, literally pushing the guys out the door. And they're like, you know, what's going on? People want to hear us play, don't they? Well, no, nobody really wants to hear you play. They want to hear the band they came to see play. And then what happened was we started with an acoustic set. I was supposed to go on and sing a half a dozen of my songs acoustically, just me and the guitar. And the PA, whatever, I don't know, not the PA, but, you know, the house stereo kept playing.
No.
Like, well, you know, it must have been a half hour by the time we finally got playing. So it was just sort of, it was comical, aggravating, but in hindsight, comical, I guess.
Yeah, all you bartenders, you usually have a switch behind the bar at the volume and the on-off of the jukebox. You got to realize that if nobody plays a jukebox every 15 minutes, it comes back on.
Yep.
So, you know, come on, guys. Do your job. We're going to we got two more cuts we're going to squeeze in before we're absolutely out of time. We have two left, Gary. We have End of Lion and Bleeds for You. Which would you like to play next?
Bleed for You, which is basically, that's track number 6 or 7, whatever it is. It's a conflicted kind of a song, really, because it's about the title of the CD, which is, what is it called again? Gift of Projection. It's basically, you know, I bleed for you, and you know, it hurts to see you cry, that kind of thing. But at the same time, it's kind of like expressing this anger that I'm trying to kind of get rid of, actually. You know, basically saying, you know, when is it gonna come around, you know? Like, when is this ever gonna work for me, kind of thing. So it's a bit of a conflicted song, because it's kind of positive and negative at the same time. And it's kind of almost like a little punk number. I had my friend Jason Arvanitis sing it, because my voice just didn't, for some reason, it came out terrible on the recording, so Jason is singing this one.
Mercy starts. possessing the gift of projection, reflection of your heart. Good for a reason, weighing blindly. I must be smoking. Projection, reflection of your heart.
You are listening to the music of Gary Ault on the Artist First Radio Network. This is a featured music special, something we've been doing for about the past 14 years. We are featuring Gary's new CD, Gift of the Projection, available at CD Baby, iTunes, Amazon.com, all the usual places. Well, Gary, this has been it's always great having you on, man. You're such a refreshing artist. I love your type of music. You have the right attitude, like I said earlier, and I'm going to say it again. If the world had more Gary Ault in it, this place would be a better place.
Wow, that's a heck of a compliment. I don't know if I agree with you, but it's okay.
Because you were drowning puppies in your bathtub before the show?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, but...
Well, from what we can gather from your music, which is... Geez, I hate to say this because it sounds so cold, but it's probably what you'll leave behind as the years go on. We all fade into nothingness. You know, I mean, the history of our lives fade away and we're long forgotten at some point in time. But for artists like you, you're going to live on a lot longer than most of us, Gary. Your music's going to be out there for generations to come. You know what? Let's just think about that for a moment. Let's say 3 generations from now, somebody wants to listen to rock and roll from 2010 in America and they pick up a couple of your albums. I think your albums will sound exactly the same to them as they do to us. What do you think?
Well, I guess that's possible. I'm not sure how to handle that concept in the case of my music. I just like for people to hear it now. I don't even think about a legacy. But I don't know. That's possible.
Well, I do. I mean, if you think about I hate to sound crazy about this, folks, but Pick any century. Let's go back 500 years, any time. Can you name any person, from that thing? All those lives, all those people who were famous in their day, they're all forgotten. Everything they did is all forgotten. Gee, this is getting a little dark here, but what lives on? Well, some of the crazy people, and art lives on. Art is our society, human society, seems to want to hold on to art, and it becomes more valuable with age, and especially after, you know, a long time. But okay, I'm getting a little crazy here, but, you know, I don't know. Am I really that far off the mark? Okay, yes, probably am. So if you guys want to send hate mail, you can send it to dj@artistfirst.com and tell me how crazy I am. All right, we got time for one last cut from Gary Ault. I thought it was a play on words, but maybe it's not. I'll let you explain it, Gary.
I'm not really sure, because Larry Hayden, who I've collaborated with in the past, wrote the lyrics. And until you mentioned that, End of the Line, L-I-N-E, which is, and the song is End of the Lion, L-Y-I-N, as in lying with a G at the end. I never thought about it, but that's actually interesting. But Larry gave me these words several years ago, and he had a specific idea of, and in fact, he mentioned a specific song that he thought I might pattern it after, which could be a good idea. It's almost like getting the assignment to write the next James Bond movie theme or something.
Yeah.
But in this case, it didn't work because I couldn't get the song out of my head. Actually, the song was Mississippi Queen by Mountain.
Oh, yeah.
And I ended up writing a real piece of crap. You know, it just wasn't that good. But I recorded it, and I sent it on to Larry. I said, what do you think? And he was like, yeah, well, thanks. But anyway. So it just kind of lay dormant for a while. And I picked it up after seeing a Moody Blues concert, believe it or not. When you hear the song, you'll probably say there is no connection between this song and the Moody Blues. But there were actually two songs that they did that kind of got the seed going. And, of course, this ended up being a totally different animal. And then I recorded it and played it for Larry, and he said, you know, I like it. So I ended up re-recording the vocals with Larry. My vocals were okay in this case, but I thought he should have first crack at singing it since he wrote the words. And he is a better singer than me anyway. So it's a pretty cool song.
Well, I saw all the rest of the cuts except, well, maybe the first album, but that's what you were telling me on a break. But, folks, you can get all of Gary's music probably through the website as well. Find out everything about Gary. Send him some email. Send him plane tickets to come play in your city. You charge $35,000, was it, or was it
$38,000? I'll discount it to $35,000, sure.
All right, it's cash up front. When the plane lands, you got to hand him a shoebox full of money, and he'll come entertain you guys. But, again, if you want to help support Gary and his projects, all you got to do is go to the usual places, CD Baby, Amazon.com, iTunes, and spend a buck or two or download the CD. Instant gratification. And I got a sneaking suspicion, Gary, that you're going to be back with us sooner or later. What do you think?
Probably, but like I was saying before, the reason why I decided to release the EP is because I'm feeling, I kind of went through this period about 12 or 13 years ago where for about 4 or 5 years I had no musical thoughts at all, and I don't try to force it. If it doesn't come, I don't force it. So I wrote like nothing from like 1997 to 2001 or something. And I think I'm in that period now. I'm not really sure, but so, you know, I just figured, let me get this out there. There's another couple songs I'm working on that I wrote some time ago that I'm still in the middle of recording. So, you know, something could be coming out early 2011, or it might take a little longer. I'm not really sure.
We have been here since 1997. That is 13 years. This is 2010 for us, you listening live. And I think we'll be here for another 13. So whenever you're ready, Gary, you're always welcome here, man. And anything we can do to further your career and record sales and get your music out to the world, we're constantly at your disposal.
Well, that's very, you know, I appreciate that, and it's been great already in the several interviews I've done with you folks, so I appreciate it. Thanks.
Well, guys, get out there, support the independent artists in your area. Let's get the money to where it belongs, not the hands of the greedy lawyers and the fat record executives. Let's get it to the artists. Let's put the artists first. Hey, that's a great name for a radio station. Maybe somebody should call a station that.
There you go.
Oh, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Gary, you stay safe, and congratulations on another great project, and we'll see you as soon as your 15th album's ready. Here's the last cut, folks. End of the Line.
Yeah.